on the fourth commandment, on keeping the Sabbath day holy. He's going to teach, I think, on the 28th, if I've got that right, of January. So the fifth commandment this week, guest preacher next week, sixth commandment the week after that, fourth commandment, seventh commandment. It's just keep you on your toes. And if you teach in the fifth and sixth grade class and you're going through the Ten Commandments, we're really sorry. Sorry. But we will teach from the fifth commandment today. I should open my Bible to the same page I asked you to. Okay, well, when I consider the rules that I establish and the rewards that I promise to my kids, that says a lot about who I am as a parent, doesn't it? The rules that I establish and the rewards that I promise. So, for example, if one of my children hasn't finished his homework yet, and say, for example, I prohibit him from going outside to play, or maybe for the same child, I promise him a new bike if he does well in school, he should not be at all surprised to learn that education matters to me as his father, because the rules that I establish and the promises that I make reflect my priorities. It's true for parents, but I think it's also true for God, because the rules that he establishes and the promises that he makes reflect a great deal on what's important to him. We've been studying the Ten Commandments, where we see promises made and rules given. So we know already from our study in the Ten Commandments that God places a significant value, the highest value, on his children worshiping him as the one and only true God. We also have learned so far, as we've studied the Ten Commandments, that God won't allow any form of worship to sell him short in any way. We learned last week that God doesn't allow his children to use his name in a vain or an empty way. These things are important to God, and so therefore they are reflected in his rules to his children. We'll later go on to learn, in a few weeks we'll learn about how important it is, how human life is of value to God, how fidelity, how faithfulness in marriage is important to God. But today we're going to look at the fifth commandment, which is to honor our parents. And as I was studying this commandment, I thought this one seems maybe a little out of place. When we look at all the vast number of commands, when we span the scope of these commands, the command to honor our parents, to me, seemed a little bit funny. And what I mean by that is, of course it's important. I mean, I have children of my own, so it's important for my children to honor their parents. But I found out as I studied this week that this commandment is extremely important to God. It's very important to God that children honor their parents. But why? Why is it important that children honor their parents when it comes from God's perspective? Well, I think it's because that when we honor our parents, we basically have a respect for life itself. When we honor our parents, we respect life itself. That God, who is sovereign over all creation, he's created it all, including us. God is the sovereign creator. But God, in his way, used our parents as the very practical means by which our life would come about. So God knew us, it says in Ephesians, God knew us before the foundation of the earth. But God used our parents, didn't he, to bring us into this earth. Why is it so important to God that we honor our parents? Because as Daniel was saying this morning, so much of what we see in the world around us is a reflection of the true character of God. And so in a small way, our parents are somewhat of a reflection to us of God himself, because our parents gave us life. So therefore, to dishonor our parents is in a way dishonoring God. It's taking disrespect towards the one who gave us life in the first place, first to our parents, but more importantly to God. That's why it's so important to God that we honor our parents. And now it doesn't take much to look around in the world in which we live and realize that respect for parents is a long forgotten virtue, isn't it? Respect for parents, just there's vast amounts of disrespect and dishonor for parents in the world in which we live. So that makes it all the more important that we consider carefully this commandment that we have before us. So let's just read. We'll go ahead and read. It's Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Let's read the fifth commandment together. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Very simple. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Let's pray and ask for God's grace so that we can understand. Lord, we come before you this morning, I pray, a humble people, ready to hear what you have to say. As a church, we have opened before us this wonderful book and these wonderful commands, the moral law of God laid out for us as Christians today. And Lord, as we have considered them each in turn, every time, Lord, we're brought to our knees in the way in which we have failed to keep your commands. It causes us to wonder, God, how is it that a holy God can dwell among sinful people like us? But all the more, the study through the commandments is a wonderful view to the cross of Jesus Christ, where you have dealt finally with the problem of sin in our lives. And so, Lord, as we open yet another command today, the command to honor our parents, help us to recognize that as we do so, as we walk in the freedom that this command allows us, in some small way, God, we are honoring you. Lord, bless your word to us today. May it inform us. May it provoke us. May it convict us where necessary. Lord, may we leave from here today a people resolved to walk in greater godliness for the glory of God. We praise you and we ask for your ongoing grace. In Christ's name, amen. Well, you should have before you an outline, and on that outline, you'll notice there's 3 points for today's sermon, and the points are organized around a central theme, and that's this. If I look at the fifth commandment, the call to honor parents, I'd summarize it like this, that respect for parents reflects a heart for God. Respect for parents reflects a heart for God. My respect for my parents ought to reflect in some way the heart that I have for God himself. And so we'll look at 3 points in particular. The first is the rule that God has established. The rule that he's established. A child who lives under God's rule reveals a heart for him. A child who joyfully lives under God's rule reveals a heart for him. Secondly, we'll look at the reward that God promises, because this command is attended with a reward, with a promise. And a child who trusts in God's promise is one who reveals a heart for him. Trusting in his promise reveals our heart for God. And then lastly, what is the response that God expects? We're going to look practically at some of the ways in which a child of God may walk out honoring his parents, and a child who walks in this way does indeed demonstrate a heart for God. So let's begin by looking at the rule that God has established. What is the rule? Well, I read it already. The rule is, the commandment says, to honor our father and mother. To honor them. To honor is a heavy word. I mean, literally, it's a heavy word, because when we honor our father and mother in this sense, the Hebrew word that's used here depicts giving weightiness to their position. The Hebrew word can also be translated heavy or weighty. So when we honor the Lord in the sense of it's used in this particular commandment, we're giving weight to the significant position that our parents, our mothers and fathers hold. And this word is actually used in other places to speak of the honor and the glory that is due God's name. So, for example, in Psalm 86, verse 9, it says this, "All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name." We're called to honor our parents in the same way, in a reflection of the same way that we glorify and honor God. What does this look like? Well, first, I think it looks like we treat our parents differently than we do any other person. The relationship that we have with our parents, established by God, has us treating them differently than any other relationship we have. For example, my boys, called under the fifth commandment to relate to their dad, would relate to me very differently than you would relate to me, because we're called to relate to them differently. Martin Luther wrote this. He said, "God doesn't simply command us to love our parents, but he calls us to honor them. With respect to brothers and sisters and neighbors in general, he commands nothing higher than that we love them. But here he separates and distinguishes father and mother above all other persons upon the earth." He separates them and he distinguishes them. He places them at his side. "For it is a higher thing to honor than it is to love one. For one whom we are to honor from the heart, we must truly regard as high and great." When we are called to honor our parents, we separate them. We distinguish them. Doesn't that sound a little bit like the relationship that we have to God? We're not worshiping our parents, but we are treating them as separate and distinct. The relationship we have with our mom and dad is sanctified. It's set apart. I'll ask you this question. I don't care how old you are. If you have a parent living here today, is your relationship with your parent separate and distinct? Do you treat your mom? Do you treat your dad differently than you do any other relationship that you have in this world? Because that's what it means to honor our father and our mother. Now, we're called to honor. What's the sin under the fifth commandment? Well, of course, it's to dishonor our parents. To dishonor our parents, to not treat them in the way in which their weighty position and the heaviness that their position deserves is a sin. And in the Bible, in the law, under the law, God established a very serious offense for those who violated this particular commandment. Read, for example, in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18, 19, and 21. I'll read this for you. It should be on the screen. Deuteronomy chapter 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives. And what's to happen to this particular son? Verse 21. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. You shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Under the law, disobedience to parents was a significant sin. It invited capital punishment. If you remember when we talked about the Book of the Covenant, so chapters 21 through 24 in the book of Exodus, there's a variety of sins that are listed in there as sins that deserve capital punishment. It's a pretty small list. Sins like kidnapping, sins like blasphemy, worshiping false gods, and dishonoring parents. You see what I mean before when I said it seems a little bit out of place? Under the law, dishonoring parents invited a serious judgment. Now, here we are today. We're under the new covenant. We've said that the moral law of God stands, but the civil judgment doesn't. Thank God for everyone in this room that's dishonored his parents, right? But we do know, even under the new covenant, that the sin of disrespect to parents is still a very serious sin. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He writes this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be what? They'll be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control. A great list here, isn't it? And thrown in there is disobedience to parents. What does he say later on? He says, they have the appearance of godliness, but deny its power. And his command to us, what does Paul say? Avoid such people. Have nothing to do with them. The sin of dishonor to parents is a serious offense under the old covenant and under the new covenant. Well, there's a couple of observations I want to bring to you with regard to the commands to honor. And first, it's this. This command, it's unconditional. What do I mean by that? There's no if-then statement when it comes to the fifth commandment. It doesn't say, if your father and mother are worthy of your honor, then honor them. It doesn't say that at all. It says, honor your father and mother. Straight up. It's a universal command. If we are children of parents who are living today, regardless of what they've done, and I'll qualify some of that as we get down the road, but regardless of what they've done, we are still called to honor them. Well, how can you do that? I mean, there are situations. I am aware of tragic situations of people in this church who have parents who have been completely dishonorable. And they range from things of unreasonable requests to unthinkable sins. And so this is much easier said than done, but the command is still to honor our parents. It's possible. It's not easy, but it is possible by the grace of God that in every person's life, there's something honorable about what they bring. Because ultimately, believer or not, every person is made in the image of God. So we have something to commend in every life. Now, I don't want to say that tritely. I say that as a pastor, knowing full well that I know there are situations that they seem beyond our reach. It's even possible in the worst of situations to extend honor and to do it with integrity. But it's hard work. But God promises, my grace will be with you. It's an unconditional, universal command. Secondly, the second observation about this particular rule, my sinful heart, your sinful heart, is going to resist this command. This is nothing new. I mean, in a sense, every command that we're given, we're going to want to resist it. But the resistance that comes naturally from my human heart, I need to recognize that. I will resist the call to obey and respond and respect to my parents because ultimately I'm a sinner. Now, that seems so obvious. Why say it? Well, I say it for this. First of all, if you're a parent here in this room, don't be surprised when your children demonstrate a lack of respect for you. Now, you need to address that, but don't be surprised when it comes, because what's happening is naturally what flows out of the heart of men. If you're a child, this applies to you. Because regardless of the situation, good, bad, or otherwise, know that you're going to do battle with this particular temptation all the time. All the time. You're going to do battle with a temptation to disrespect your parents even when they've done nothing wrong. Because it's the natural inclination of the sinful human heart. It comes naturally. Now, let me qualify that by saying, even though it comes naturally, it's still not okay. It's still not okay for us to do what comes naturally in this case. We must, as children, resist the temptation. We, as parents, must resist the temptation to exasperate our children when we see that disrespect. When we see it, we ought to address it, parent and child alike. Know that your heart will go in that direction. Children who honor their parents, I said from the outset, reveal a heart for God. When we obey the command that is given to us, we are revealing in part a heart for God, because we are giving to our parents the respect that their weighty position deserves. In a sense, we're training ourselves to give the greater respect that God's weighty and majestic position deserves. We're called to honor them, and we're called to do it in spite of their sin. Now recognize this. Because we're called to do it in spite of sin, this is a great opportunity for us, even as we study in the Old Testament, in the law, it's a great opportunity for us to see the grace of God available to us through the cross. Because if we wait for opportunities where our parents walk in perfection, we will never, ever honor them, will we? But when we honor them in the midst of their sin, not for their sin, but when we see the goodness that God has demonstrated in their life, it will help us all the more to recognize how faithful God has been with us in our sin and our weaknesses. Children who honor their parents reveal a heart for God. And I said from the beginning that this command struck me as strange because it's so important to God that not only does He give us a command, but He faithfully, graciously, kindly gives us what? He gives us a promise. A promise of something really, really good. And so let's look in the second point. Let's look at the promise that God says that He will reward us. Promises for the good life abound, don't they? The other night I had a dream. And in my dream, I was having a conversation. I had a conversation successively with two different people, a man and a woman. And in this dream, both this man and this woman were overjoyed with the prospect of telling me about this way that they have found the treasure of the perfect life. They told me that if I only worked a couple of hours a day doing something specific, I would make millions of dollars and I would be very happy. That was my dream. I realized when I woke up and the television was still on from the football game I was watching, there was an infomercial on. Work a few hours a week, enjoy the rich life. That would be great, wouldn't it? We search for endless numbers of ways to enjoy the good life, don't we? But would it surprise you to know that in the fifth commandment, we have at least one key to what it's like to live the good life? Because God makes a great promise. What is the promise that He makes? He says that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. That your days may be long in the land that your Lord, the God, is giving to you. Well, that's a familiar promise. This same promise of long life, it's found in other passages of Scripture. One, for example, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. This is the father speaking to his son, espousing wisdom from the father. He says, "Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many." Proverbs 4, chapter 4, verse 10. If we adhere to the wisdom of our fathers, we will indeed enjoy years of life. That's the promise that's given to that father to his son. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 16. It's not up on the screen, but basically it's a similar promise. That if we espouse wisdom, if we pursue wisdom in this case in Proverbs in chapter 3, is personified. It's pursuing the woman of wisdom. And so if we pursue her with all of our heart, we will have what? Years of life. The promise of great life abounds in Scripture. But it's unique to the Ten Commandments in the Fifth Commandment, because it's not mentioned anywhere else. The Second Commandment, if you'll remember, Daniel, a number of weeks ago, taught on the Second Commandment. And there was a promise in the Second Commandment. It was a promise that God would show His steadfast love to those thousands of generations of people who love Him and serve Him and obey Him. That was a great promise. But Paul calls this commandment, the fifth commandment, the first commandment with a promise. But it's the fifth, it's not the second. Why is that? Well, the second commandment, one could argue that that was a general promise given to obedience to the commandments. So under the commandments, if there's obedience there, that God would promise to show His steadfast love. What's distinct here in this commandment is that God is making a specific promise of long life for who? For those who honor their parents. But what is this promise of long life in the land? What does it mean? Well, if you were a Jew at the foot of Mount Sinai on that day, you'd know that there was so much greater. God has rescued you so far from slavery in Egypt, but He's also promised you something much, much greater. It wasn't just a promise of long life. They weren't just promised that they were going to live a lot of years. People live a lot of years and live miserably. But this promise is a promise of their great, full, rich life. Martin Luther writes it this way. He says, "Here you have the fruit and the reward, that whoever observes this commandment shall have happy days, fortune, prosperity. For to have long life in the sense of the Scriptures is not to only become old, but to have everything that belongs to long life, such as health, wife and children, livelihood, peace, good government, and so on. Without which, without these things, life can neither be enjoyed in cheerfulness nor long endured." It's a promise of a great, full, rich life. Now, I'm not preaching prosperity theology here. We want to balance this passage from every other passage that we encounter in the Bible. But God is saying here, we don't want to dismiss this. This is a promise for a great life. If we obey Him in this, He will indeed do as He's promised. But trusting in this promise does require faith, doesn't it? Trusting, if you're a child here, and maybe you and your parents had a disagreement this week, and you right now are tempted to just revisit that argument, to revisit that conflict, and in the midst of that, say, "This is unbelievable. I cannot respect Him for this." Well, it's in those moments where this becomes the greatest challenge. You are required, you are called to have faith in order to apprehend this promise. But God says, if you will obey Me in these things, then I will do this. If you will obey Me in this commandment, I promise you a great life. I promise you richness and fullness of life. So I said before that when we honor and respect our parents, we are reflecting a heart for God. In this case, we're reflecting a heart that has faith in Him. It's a faithful heart. It's a heart that trusts God at His word. And now, like I said, for Israel, they already recognized this promise. If He's rescued us this far, if He's taken us this far, and He's done what seemed to be the impossible in taking us out of slavery in Egypt and bringing us to this place, don't they have all the promise in the world now to expect that God will deliver on this promise as well? They have every reason to believe that God will keep His word on this, because this is far less than what He's already done. If you're a Christian here today, and Israel had it going on, they had much to hope for, but you have a whole lot more, don't you? Because we stand on this side of the cross. When God makes a promise to us today as Christians, a promise like this of great life, of a rich, full life, all we need to do is reflect on the cross. We just need to reflect on the fact that we're guilty sinners of this particular commandment, and yet God has been good to us. God said that He would give us, He had a plan of redemption. God would deal finally with the issue of sin in our lives. And He has. He's done it through the cross. He's done it through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who's now seated at His right hand. So if God's been faithful to do that, this is nothing. This is nothing for us. So I would just encourage you, as a child who's feeling the temptation maybe to resist your parents, and I don't care if you're 14 years old or 45, we all go through this. It's times like this to apprehend the promise of God, to believe in faith. He said He's going to do it. I trust Him. I trust that He will. I want to walk in faith under this promise. Well, let me just make a couple of observations about the promise itself, just to orient ourselves. First and foremost, anybody that's lived long enough knows that there are exceptions to this rule. Not every child who dies an early age is one that we can say was guilty of violating the fifth commandment. We just can't say that. There are exceptions to the rule. And we had a fine young man who was here in the church. He went off to college. Ben Beckett died a year and a half ago. And Ben was a godly young man. His mom, Angela, was here just a couple of weeks ago. And I had a conversation with Angela. And she just, again, reminded me of the faithfulness of her son to care for her. She was divorced, and her son cared for his mom. Ben honored his mom and dad. But no doubt, Ben's life was taken sooner than anybody would have anticipated. Not taking God by surprise, but certainly caught us by surprise. God is sovereign. His ways are not our ways. This is not an automatic, you know, plug in the result here, you plug in the formula here and it comes out the end and the result, because God knows more than we do. But the principle still applies. It's an exception, but they are just that. They're exceptions. The principle rule is when children honor their parents, they can expect God's blessing. As Christians, when we honor our parents, we should expect God's blessing. He said that he's going to give it to us, and he encourages us. It's not selfish, by the way. Just, you might be thinking, well, it sure is selfish to have to be motivated by a promise. You know, it sounded like you were bribing your kid earlier when you said you'd give him a new bike for good grades. Well, maybe I was. But in this case, God says, trust me in this promise, and it's yours. When he makes a promise and says, trust him in it, we're not being selfish by saying, amen, I'll do it, I'll trust him. This promise is to us, and we are not selfish for taking God up on his offer because he made it. And it applies to all of us in any age. And it also has a broader application than not just, well, say, children to parents. And let me say this. Again, I've said it several times. If you are a child who has a living parent, automatically this commandment applies to you. But there are several respected men and women throughout the centuries who have interpreted this particular commandment to mean beyond just respect and honor for parents. Meaning, they would directly tie this commandment in other areas of Scripture where we are commanded to respond in respect and honor and obedience to any authority. And so they would say things like, under the state, under your leaders in the church, under your boss at work, and so on down the line, the fifth commandment still applies. Now, I'll just say this. I'm not thoroughly convinced of that. It's not because I have a better idea. It's just I still need to spend some time going through that. I'm not completely convinced of the direct relationship, but I am absolutely convinced, and I'm a father, so I can say this, I'm absolutely convinced that the principle is right. That when we teach a child to honor first his parents, when I teach my boys to respect and honor their mom and their dad, I know I am setting them up for a greater success down the road. I know that a child who first honors and respects his parents is much greater able later on to respect and honor any other God-given authority that is placed in their life. And that's a true principle. So I think that we can, I think there's fair enough bounds here to say that the promise of God to bring blessing to those who respond honorably to those in authority can extend beyond family. And I think all of us have experienced that in some way or another. The converse is also true. If we don't do well in honoring our parents, it's very likely that we'll find a situation where it's much harder for us to respectfully respond to any other authority. You have trouble on the job responding to your boss? You know, I'm not asking you to go back into the recesses of your mind here, but just go ask the question, how did I respond to my mom and dad? Did I show them the kind of respect? It's not impossible to work your way out of that. Maybe you were the most disrespectful son or daughter that ever walked the face of the earth, but there's still grace for that. And maybe your parents aren't living anymore, but there's still grace for every other area of life. And so I just would cause you to recognize the promise of God. He's good to deliver as he says. What a wonderful promise. Children who trust in God's promise in the fifth commandment, they do. They reveal a heart of faith in him. They reveal a heart of faith. He promises a good life to those of us who honor our parents, and it requires us to take him at his word that he'll do as he said. He's sovereign. He makes exceptions, but we can trust that he'll do as he said. Now, I want this life. I want the kind of life that Martin Luther described. I want the one that's full of every rich blessing that God can possibly afford to me. I want that. A key to that is walking in this particular commandment. I want to do that. How do I do that? How does one walk in obedience to the fifth commandment? And I want to conclude in my third point. I just want us to look at a handful of ways. This is by no means exhaustive. This is not a complete list. But let's look at some of the ways in which a child can honor his parent. And before we do that, though, let me say this, that God expects the law to be applied practically in a person's life. We've already said from the outset that we uphold that the moral law of God is binding upon the Christian in the new covenant, that we make a differentiation between the ceremonial and the civil and the moral. Ceremonial, civil, no longer bound to those obligations, but we are bound to the moral law of God. My point in this is that God expects us to walk in a practical way in obedience to His commands. He expected the same thing in Israel. A major function of the law in the life of Israel was that following the commands that God had given, they very specifically set themselves apart from every heathen nation around them. If they walked in the law that God has established for them, they very clearly would have shown themselves to be something different than the rest of the world. They were sanctified to God. Maybe the covenant's changed, but that part hasn't. God still calls us. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We walk in this world, but in order to honor God, we keep His moral law. We look different than the world that's around us. We do that. That is what God expects for us as it comes to His moral commands in life. And we had a conversation the other night at home group. And one of the guys in home group put this just very well. And I think, you know, young or old, this is a great perspective to have when you consider practical application of moral law in your life. All of us are going to be tempted, as I said before. We might be tempted just to look at the various boundaries that God has established. You know, we'll be looking at the fence that He's put up and always longing to see what's on the other side. Always regretting that that fence wasn't built just a little further out. Always feeling, in a sense, that maybe these commands, these restrictions that God has established for us, they're bad. They intend for us. God wants to just kill our fun. I want to challenge you on that. I want to challenge my own heart on that. Because in the law, God has given us great freedom. He's given us abundant freedom within the boundaries that He's established. So we ought to be very careful when we're so consumed with the boundaries that we neglect the great freedom that's contained within. And when it comes to respecting parents, there's wonderful freedom, young or old. There's abundant freedom in honoring our parents. So let's do look just at a handful of ways that we might honor and respect our parents. One category would just be under the category of reverence. We want to revere our parents. I said before, honoring parents is not worshiping parents. They're not perfect, but we revere them. We give respect to them. And specifically, a great way to apply this is in the way we speak. I offer reverence to my mom and dad in the way that I either speak to them or I speak about them. Speak to them and I speak about them. When I speak to my mom and dad, I'm 37 years old. It's still appropriate for me to call my mom, mom, and my dad, dad. It's appropriate for me to say sir and ma'am. I'm an adult. I'm no longer under their direct authority, but it conveys respect. If you're a young person under your parents' direct authority, that's hands down, that's a given. But for all of us, just thinking of the ways that we respond, what are the titles that we use to address our parents? I don't think that's a big one, but here's another one. When we disagree, especially, what's our tone of voice like with mom and dad? What's my tone of voice like when they're preventing me? What's James 4:1 say? You want, but you don't get, so you quarrel and fight. When they're standing in the way of me getting what I want, what is my tone of voice? Am I frustrated? Am I angry? I might say dad. I might not even put any other words after that that would disrespect him, but the way that I say it is still suspect. What's the tone of voice that I'll use? Do I look my mom and dad in the eyes when I speak to them? Do I look them in the eyes? That's a sign of respect. Do I speak to them like a peer? Or do I speak to them something worse? Or do I speak to them with respect? One of the things I shared with, if you were here last week, you might remember that I shared with you a rule in my house when I was a kid growing up. My father wouldn't allow me to address my mom as she or her, kind of in the title category. It was mom. It was more than just because he wanted me to use the right words there. He wanted me to honor her name. I talked about that last week. But my dad knew that I could very easily speak to my mom like she was just any other person, like one of my friends. And when I spoke to her like that, even if it was out of respect, I would respectfully speak to one of you, I would still need to be speaking to my mom a little bit more respectfully than that. So how do we address them? Do we address them like any other person, or do we treat them with respect in the way that we address them? That's speaking to them, and you can add to it 100 other ways, but you get the idea. The second side of that would be just how do we speak about them? How do we speak about our mom and dad to other people? Do we take care to show them in a favorable light? we speak about our parents to other people in a favorable light. Now, if you're, say, 12 years old right now and you think, you know what, will you just stop beating up on me? I'll say this, that I was talking to one of the brothers in the bathroom earlier, and this commandment has just really brought me to my knees because I realize that even as an adult, I have, in constant ways, I have found a way to disrespect my parents in the way that I speak about them. And now, bear in mind, of course, we can do this all with great Christianese. Brother, I want to share this with you because I want you to pray for me. My parents are just a bunch of idiots. I mean, you understand what I'm saying here is we want to be very careful. We always want to be caring to put our parents in a favorable light. We can ask for prayer, but we're also giving them respect in the process. Would I say the same things about my parents if they were standing there with me? If they were standing in the same room, would I say the same things that I'm willing to say to my friends? Ask yourself that question. More sadly, are my parents the butt of my jokes? Are they the object of my scorn? Are they the thing that just causes me great frustration? And any time a conversation comes up with parents involved, everybody knows that I'm just going to come out guns a-blazing. Maybe a better way to look at this, just kind of sum up a conversation with someone. If you leave a conversation with someone where you have spoken about your parents, ask yourself as you walk away, does that person respect my mom and dad more or less as a result of what I've said? Do they respect them more or less? If I'm honoring my mom and dad, I'm going to do all I can so that they might respect them more. I'm not asking you to lie. I'm not asking you to make anything up. But I am asking you to be, with integrity, willing to see and present your parents in a favorable light. Now, like I said before, no parent's perfect. No parent is perfect. No child is perfect. Okay, so if we're waiting for one another to demonstrate perfection here, our mouths will just be closed all the time. So don't be looking for the opportunity to wait for perfection, but instead, find the ways in which your parents demonstrate honorable character and be willing to bring those things up. In spite of their sin, there's much to be commended. In spite of your sin, there's much that your parents can commend to you. So the street runs in both directions. Now, it doesn't say this in the commandment, but I think this is fair for us as parents. As we're laying it heavy on the kids here, now we want to look at ourselves and say, it's an implied obligation. If you're a parent, you have an implied obligation under the fifth commandment, and it's this. Walk honorably before your children. Don't walk perfectly. It's impossible. But walk honorably before your children. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. It's easy to exasperate our children when we show ourselves to be a bunch of hypocrites. But if you walk honorably before your children, give them every reason to respect you, and you'll make their job easier. And isn't that what we do for one another? Our job is to make one another's job in walking the Christian life easier. Live honorably before your kids. That's what it means to revere. You can expand that all you want, but reverence to our parents. The next way is obedience. What's a category for honoring and respecting our parents? Under the category of obedience. And I think this one, you know what? If you were a child and you knew the fifth commandment was coming today, you knew I was going to tell you. You need to obey your parents. You need to obey your parents. If you are a child, under the direct authority of your parents. If you've not grown up, left the house, married, then you're under their direct authority. You are called to obey them. You're called to obey them cheerfully. You're called to do what they've asked you to do right away. You're called to obey them. Their desires, their wishes, so on down the line. Now, that doesn't give your parents free license to tell you to do whatever they want you to do. Paul says in Ephesians, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord. What does it mean to obey your parents in the Lord? Well, to obey our parents in the Lord means that we're not required and obligated to fulfill an instruction that asks us to violate a command of Scripture, that asks us to violate a conviction that we have, a biblical conviction. Jonathan, the son of King Saul, was a faithful son. But if you're familiar with the story of Saul's life, Saul had it out for David. And Jonathan had a very close relationship with David. And there was a point where Saul told Jonathan to kill David, but he didn't do it. Jonathan wasn't guilty of violating the fifth commandment, because as honoring his father and his mother, as obeying them in the Lord, if he's asked to do something that violates Scripture, he can't do it. Now, I've lived on this one for a while, but I've realized it's just so self-righteous, because I can't remember a situation in my life at all when my father or my mother ever asked me to do anything that clearly violated a command of Scripture. The outright situations where this happens are pretty rare. But I think accommodation happens all the time. I mean, there very rarely is a situation so clearly black and white where a parent is asking a child to do something against what the Bible commands. It happens, of course. But in our context, more than not, it's probably not going to happen. It's probably more an issue of gray. And I would just ask you to walk in humility, walk in grace, walk with wisdom, and you know what? Appeal to your parents. If your father or your mother inadvertently asks you to do something that just violates your conviction, whether you're under their direct control or not, or even if it's just a request of your aging parents, I think we owe it to them to properly appeal. So you get the idea. It's just we want to walk in obedience, but we want to do it in a way that doesn't violate. Ultimately, we are bound first to God before we are our parents. And it is still possible. Now, I mentioned Jonathan. He didn't kill David, but he still honored his father. In the end, at the very end, Jonathan fought at his father's side. He died with his father out of respect for his father. So even though we may be asked to do things that violate Scripture and we will not obey those particular commands, we can still honorably walk out obedience to our parents. Even if we can't follow that particular command, we can do it with respect. Another category, gratitude. How do we walk honorably? How do we honor our parents? We can be grateful children, can't we? We can be grateful. A child who honors his parents takes initiative to express his thanks to them. Just saying thanks, Mom and Dad. And specifically, thanks, Mom and Dad. I mean, it's good to, if you've never thanked your mom and dad for anything, then, you know what, go home today and thank them. But be specific about that. I found myself this week just contemplating the many ways in which I've really fallen short here, and I found just a wonderful way to thank my mom and dad. So I called them and talked to them, and it's been a long time. So you're not alone in this if this is a struggle for you. But to thank our mom and dad, I found an old Latin phrase, and it was translated like this. To God, to parents, and to teachers, we can never render sufficient gratitude and compensation. I'll read it again. To God, to parents, and to teachers, we can never render sufficient gratitude and compensation. If you're a parent, you know that your child will never be able to repay you for all the sacrifices that you've made in this life. Now, you didn't go into it looking to be repaid. If you did, then you took the wrong job. But your children, our children, will never understand the sacrifices that their parents make for them. They'll begin to understand it, like I've begun to understand it, is once we have children of our own, then we realize, wow, a lot was going on when I didn't think Mom and Dad were involved at all. A child who begins to have children of his own realizes that even just, we have a lot of babies in the church now. I love sleep. I just love it. And when I don't get it, I really miss it. And there's a lot of missing of sleep going on out there. Your infant child will never know that, maybe until they have their own. So a child will never understand. But it doesn't mean we can't try. It doesn't mean we can't, in a sense, look to find ways to return back to our parents' gratitude for what they've done. So ask yourself, when was the last time you thanked your parents for something specific and meaningful? If they're here in your house, when was the last time over a meal you just took time to thank them for something that they've done for you that's been specific or meaningful? You know, maybe this is going to be a lot of phone calls. When you go home today, just call on your parents. I don't know. But when was the last time you specifically thanked Mom and Dad for their care for you in a specific way? Are you more aware of your parents' sin and weaknesses? Or are you growing aware of the godly character that they demonstrate? I mean, these sound like the same questions we'd ask parents about their kids. Are you more aware of the sin in your children? Well, yeah, the street goes in both directions. Are you aware where your parents are growing? Your parents are growing in the grace of God? That your dad or your mom is so much different now than they were, say, a year ago? Are you aware of that? Do you see that they're working hard in these areas to become a better parent? And if so, would you tell them? Express your thanks to them. Show them your gratitude, because as you do, you're honoring the fifth commandment, and you're doing what God said, and He will bless you for that. It's a wonderful opportunity. Lastly, let me just mention faithfulness. Faithfulness. How do we honor our parents? We can honor it in faithfulness, and this, you know what, you can apply this any which way you'd like. There's a lot of different ways, young, old, but I have in mind particularly, because there are a number of us whose parents are advancing in age. Maybe you have elderly parents, so this specifically applies to those of us whose parents are growing older. Are we faithfully caring for them in their time of need. You're probably aware, in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus brings a sound rebuke to a group of scribes and Pharisees. In Matthew 15, he rebukes them. They actually challenge him on a point of law. And as only Jesus can do, he turns it right back around on them. And he challenges them. These are adult men who have failed to keep the fifth commandment by caring for their own parents. Now, they did what seemed to be noble and right and pious in front of men because they devoted that which their parents needed to survive. They devoted it to God. Ultimately, they devoted it to themselves. They were selfish. And Jesus rebuked them because instead of caring for their parents, they were selfishly taking care of themselves. To faithfully provide for our parents as they grow older and they have greater needs is a way in which we can honor them under the fifth commandment. Now, this could mean financial means. You know, with the growing just massive amounts of wealth that's out there right now in terms of retirement plans for many, you know, my parents have planned well. I doubt that my mom and dad are going to require much financial assistance from me. And if they do, then they're probably in a lot of trouble. But even if it's not finances, relationally, spiritually, are we prepared to support our parents as they grow older? We've left the house. They probably did a jig when we left. They were very excited when we left. But say a parent dies and they're alone. You know, are we relationally coming to serve them? Are we helping them? Do we help our older parents? Do they feel a welcomed part of our family? Or do they feel like some intruder who just by obligation has to be invited in? I mean, these kinds of things, I'm not asking you to go home and feel guilty about this, but I'm challenging you to think about it. My mom and dad, I want to brag on my mom and dad. I know there's examples of this in the church, but I want to apply what it means to honor your father and mother. My mom and dad have been true heroes when it comes to this particular application right here. Years ago, my grandfather, on my mom's side, my grandmother's still living. On my dad's side, his dad was living. He got to the point where he wasn't able to care for himself at all. So my mom and dad moved him down to North Carolina. He lived with them for a while. The care that they needed to provide was beyond their means. It was not an easy situation, and my grandfather didn't want to be there. But my mom and dad were faithful throughout the process, and until he died, they cared for him. My dad visited him nearly every day, and they spent time together. But it was a hard situation. Fast forward, just a few months ago, my grandmother comes down. She lives in Florida. She's been there since the early 70s. And she came down sick with pneumonia for like the third time in a year. And she went downhill fast. Every time, she'd go downhill very fast. So it was obvious to my parents, to my mom and her sisters, that, you know, my Nana couldn't live anymore by herself. And so they began to make plans and ask her if she wanted to consider moving. And so here's an 87-year-old woman, 89-year-old, and all that she has is down there in Florida. But the reason I share this story with you is my mom and dad have been faithful to serve her, and they have made it a joy for her to move. And so I just visited her 2 weeks ago, and she is overjoyed with the fact that my parents have invited her to move up. She spends probably 5 or 6 days a week. She sees my mom. My parents consider it a great opportunity to serve, and they have just really been overjoyed with the prospect. And I know the difference because I talked to my grandfather, and he wasn't very happy about the situation, but I talked to my grandmother, and she is just thrilled. She knows that her days are coming to an end. But as they do, she gets to spend it with her daughter, and she gets to spend it in a place that she knows that she's not an imposition. That's what it means to be faithful to our parents in their last days. And that's going to look different for every one of us. A lot of us never grew up here, so our parents probably aren't here. You'll have to wrestle through those issues just like I'll have to wrestle through them. But the fact remains, to be faithful in honoring our parents means that we're thinking about how we care for them. And like I said, there's examples abound in the lives of people right here who are doing that very thing. Parents who live with them, parents who are here close by, caring for them. So you get the idea. It's happening. I want to commend you as a church that this kind of example is just, this is starkly different from the world around us. So much of what I began to say from the beginning was that we want to step out and live a life that is remarkably different from the unbelieving world around us. And when it comes to caring for our parents in particular, there you have it. Because the world wouldn't behave this way. So you honor God, and it is an opportunity to proclaim the gospel to those around you. Well, there's a lot of different ways there. You can grow the list yourself. Reverence, obedience, gratitude, faithfulness, they're just a couple of the ways that we can walk in obedience to this commandment. Take time to consider it on your own. How does this apply in your life? But remember that respect for your parents reveals your heart for God. I want to close and invite the worship band up. As I do, just remember this, that when God gave the Ten Commandments, if you remember after he gives the Tenth Commandment, what happens? The people shudder in fear. They're petrified. They said, whoa, Moses, we'll speak to you, but please don't let us speak to God. You speak to him, because if we speak to him, he'll kill us. The people of Israel were terrified of God. Why were they terrified of God? I think at least in part they were terrified because they knew they were guilty. They knew that even this list, this just list of Ten Commandments, in the way that God had given them to them, were an impossible task. And we, living so much time later, having had these Ten Commandments before us, we know what it's like to violate every one of these along the way. The people were right to fear God because they knew of their sinfulness and they were very much aware of his holiness. God's holiness hasn't changed, but his invitation has. His invitation isn't, he's not telling us to stay away from the mountain. God invites us. He tells us to come and draw near to the throne of grace where he will be our help. He'll be present for us, not just as God the Father, but as God our Father. If you're a Christian here today, if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you don't stand at the foot of a mountain looking up fearful of what God might do. You stand before the throne of grace, forgiven of your sins, wearing the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. And now you can call him Abba, Father. He's your heavenly Father. Let's respect our parents because it's a reflection of the relationship that we have to them. But let's respect our parents all the more because it's a shadow of the relationship that we have to our heavenly Father. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our parents. I think life so much, we get consumed that we fail to take time to recognize that they are a gift from you to us. And they began with a gift because they brought us into this world. Lord, we recognize that you're sovereign, that you are the primary mover in all things, but secondarily, you used our parents as agents to bring us about. We exist because of them. But not only do we exist because of them, but Lord, they trained us. They've prepared us. They've readied us for whatever life holds. And so with that, God, we are joyful in responding to the call to obey this commandment. But beyond that, Lord, we recognize that it is just a mere reflection of the relationship that we have to you. So as we close in song, Lord, we want to praise our Heavenly Father for the one who has found a way to deal with the problem of sin, the finality of sin in our lives, and has called us to be his own children. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.